It is 8:07 on this rather winter-like Monday morning. Good morning, Kay Winkleman. How was your slide to work?
Well, actually, as we all know, I drive very slowly anyway. I didn't have any issues. We've got Mayor Dean Andrews in studio on this slippery Monday. How was your trek in?
Mine was good. I come down, what is it, Avenue G, going up towards the highway by Lincoln School, and I saw the city trucks out there putting salt down on the road. So that was a good sign. So
yeah,
we have like
they're out and keeping us safe.
The world's best street crews here in Flint
County. Yeah, I thought I would put that little pitch in there since it's Mayor Monday.
Absolutely.
Now, roads are beginning to get a little bit better. It still shows Avenue of the Saints partially covered with ice, same with Highway 14 and Highway 18. So still work to do in the county, but city roads don't appear to be too bad right now, thanks to the help from the street crews, as Dean said. So what else do we have on the agenda today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, we had a big session last week. It was our biannual. I guess that means every 2 years we do a strategic planning session. And so we did that last Wednesday night. And it's about a three-hour session. So we go into it knowing it's going to be a long session because we have a lot of discussion on different things, what's going well, what's what we can improve upon. And it's amazing. The first thing we do is we start on things that we've accomplished in the last year. And there's you don't think about it too much of what what you've gotten done. But we finished our wastewater treatment plant. We resurfaced the pickleball courts. I don't have my list right in front of me, but we completed the lift station out by Otto's Oasis, so that works better. We worked with Omnitel to get some fiber in the downtown area. Are you guys involved with that? Have they contacted you at all on that?
They sent us a mailing. I think we're going to at least get set up for it.
Yeah,
so fiber,
I know they're focusing on the downtown right now, but that leads me into then somewhat of our initiatives. We've been talking about broadband here for the last at least 2, if not 3 years, trying to get better fiber to everybody in town, and it's just been a financing problem that the banks, it's too much of a gamble, I guess you would say, and the big bank, our local banks have been very good. They're willing to participate, but they just can't do the whole thing. And so we're looking at some outside funding to kind of help with that. Or at our strategic planning session, what we talked about is, this hasn't seemed to work. Maybe we need to look for some different partners. Maybe we need to work different. Maybe we need to work with Omnitel and encourage them to do more things in town faster. So we're still looking at trying to get better broadband to our community because, like people say, it's kind of like the interstate highway anymore. If you don't have a good highway to drive through, if you don't have good broadband, it's hard for people to come here, I guess. And so that's one of our initiatives that we talked about that's kind of ongoing. We've talked about some housing is another one that we've talked about previously, and we're kind of still trying to focus on that. Again, if we want people to come here and take the good jobs that we have a lot of good jobs in Charles City, but people can't find a place to live, or they have a difficult time finding a place to live. So providing more housing is another one of our initiatives, and the Area Development Corporation has a revitalized committee that's kind of starting to try to look at different options of what we can do to encourage more housing. One of the problems is people like me, my wife and I live in a four-bedroom house. We probably don't need a four-bedroom house for the two of us. And so, we should be moving out and downsizing so that these families have a house. But on the other hand, we don't have a big desire to move out of our house. And so, but that's a problem for, a lot of people my age still live in their same house they've lived in for 30 years. And so there's not that turnover, and there's not new homes. We don't have a lot of places to build new homes in town, and we've looked at maybe doing some subdivisions outside of town, but that's an expensive proposition to get the water and the sewer and everything there to get the payback on that. So it's not a like, oh yeah, let's build some houses. It's a much more complicated than that, and we're trying to figure out how we can maybe do some infill lots where you've already got the infrastructure, the water and the sewer are already right there at your front doorstep on some of the lots that are vacant around town, maybe as another option. So
Well, I know the Parkside Villas have been going up pretty rapidly over the past couple of months. So
yes,
talk about
yes.
that a little bit.
Yeah, they started with the four units, two twin homes, and now they're doing two more. And so, that's a nice option to have because, again, they're for the single person or maybe retired couple. They're about 1,300 square feet, so they're not huge, but they're very comfortable for somebody in that situation. So yeah, providing more options for people. And we a lot of times we have people, we hear all the time from Cambrix and Zoetis and some of our companies that bring people into town that are looking, you know, maybe they're only going to be here for a couple of years, or maybe they don't know how long they're going to be there. If they are going to be here, they want to look around where they want to. And so they talk about some higher level rental units. I think the Union House has been a part of a solution for that. That facility was only had openings for about 3 months, and I think it's pretty full. So there's people looking for things like that too, that, you know, maybe they want to rent for a while and eventually buy a home. So some of the other things we talked about is a capital improvements plan, making a 5-year plan of our big purchases, like fire trucks, dump trucks, different things. We always kind of talk about that each year, but we wanted to try to sit down and have a 5-year plan so that we don't have three major purchases all say, boy, we really need a two police cars, a fire truck, and a road grader all in the same year.
It's an expensive year.
Yeah, that doesn't work out too well. So, and then the other thing that we've talked about before is City Hall renovation. You know, we talked about renovation or moving to a different location. I think maybe moving is maybe a too expensive proposition right now. So, but City Hall is pretty crowded, and particularly our front desk area is, there's some safety concerns as far as, you know, in this day and age, everybody's always looking at, you know, safety. The school looks at safety, businesses look at safety, and we need to look at that at City Hall. And just doing, maybe making our front entrance safer, but also more efficient so that when people come in, they don't have to, you know, wonder. Right now you can go to the right to go to the police station, you go to the left to go to City Hall. When you go to City Hall, do you want to talk to the engineer? Do you want to talk to code? For, you know, who do you want to talk to? So just to make that whole operation more efficient. And then the last thing, which is the new initiative that we talked about, is our fire, ambulance, and emergency management system. As you know, that we had a vote on the ballot here in November to have an emergency management levy that would help to raise some funds to cover those things. That did not pass. And so we're looking at, you know, what can we do as a city to try to maintain the services that we have and the response times that we have with the limited funding that we have. So again, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion in the next 6 months to a year as far as what is our fire service, what is our ambulance service, what is our police service going to look like, and how can we make it the best we can make it with the funds that we have. There was also a lot of discussion at our meeting about the funds that we have, because we're at our maximum tax levy for the general fund, which is where all these things that I just talked about come from. And we've been at that maximum levy since back when I was on the council. So it's been, you know, 20 some years we've been at the what they call the 8-10 levy, which means we can collect $8.10 per $1,000 valuation on any properties. But we can't raise that. So, well, we need more money. Let's make that $9.10. We can't do that. That's a law. We can only go to that 8-10 levy. So if we want to do more, or if we want to continue what we're doing with increased prices, we got to find another way to do that, because we can't just say, well, we'll charge more taxes. The other thing, the state has limited us. They keep providing this, what they call the rollback. So like if you own a $100,000 home today, you're only paying taxes on $54,000 of that $100,000. So because the state has said, well, you can only collect 54% of that property value. They're starting to do the same thing now with multifamily housing and also with commercial properties too. So where it used to be, you know, if you owned a house that was $100,000, you paid taxes on $100,000. Well, the state has said, well, we need to lower taxes, so we're going to lower taxes on the cities. We're not going to lower our state taxes. We're going to make the cities lower their taxes. So as you can tell, we city people are a little bitter about some of this, the state mandates that we get. And it's yeah. not just in Charles City. I go to the Iowa League of Cities meetings, and it's pretty much statewide. It's like, what do they expect us to do? So
funny how that works, right? Yeah. You drop your taxes, but we'll keep ours.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about? Plenty of things going on in Charles City.
There is a lot. I think that's the main thing that I had on my plate today, because like I say, it was a 3-hour meeting and there was a lot of discussion and a lot of good that, you know, we say, boy, that, you know, after about 2 hours, your brain starts getting pretty tired, you know,
sure.
and it's like, can we really fit? But we had a lot of things to go through. And like I say, we had a lot of good, some things we talked about for a minute, some things we talked about for 20 minutes, you know, so, it was a good session. And one of the, things we talked about going around the table first, we had a facilitator come in that actually led our session, and one of her questions was, you know, what's one of the things that you like about the city to each of the council members, and what's one of the things that's going well, and Philip Knight, and one of our councilmen, I think it was Philip, said, well, I like the mix that we have on our council. We all, you know, we pretty much come from different backgrounds, but we all are really focused on working together. And so, you know, that was mentioned a lot of times, that we really have a good council and a good city staff with our administrator Steve Deers and city clerk Trudy O'Donnell, but all of our department heads were also there that night, and you know, and Steve, who again gets around the state and goes to a lot of different cities and has a lot of different colleagues around the state, talks many times about how when he talks to his other colleagues, how lucky he feels to be in Charles City, because not only does he get along with the council, but he gets along with his staff really well. And you know, so I want to, you know, we started off the conversation about how our street department's out doing a good job today. So I guess I'd like to finish up complimenting our city staff, because that was a big discussion at our strategic planning, was how well everybody works together. So
I agree, that because I know of communities where the city council is just absolutely, members of the city council themselves don't agree and don't get along, and it makes for a hard time to make, you know, to do these planning sessions and stuff. So I agree with you, and thank you for all you do.
Well, it's like I said, one of the other questions was, why did you decide to run? And pretty much everybody's answer was, well, I like my community. I want to be involved in my community to make it better. So it was pretty much a universal, that was the answer. So
that's great.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Mayor Dean Andrews, for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you next month.
Sounds great.
The new year. 2023. Wow.
I guess. I'll use that outdated term. We'll talk to you next year.
Yes.
It's 8:20 here on the morning show, 32 degrees downtown Charles City. We're going to be talking with Tom Ballmer from Stebbins Children's Theater coming up.